Hi, and welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and I'm here with Trent today, and one of us in Colorado and one of us in Oklahoma. Both of us very hot as we are in the middle of summertime heat right now. But we're going to have a wonderful time today helping you and your church endure. So, Trent, what's on tap today?
Well, what you said is true. It is hot. We're supposed to get to 105 this week. So, yeah, but we, you know, that may cause you to not endure, to wither away. But we want to help you to endure. And one of the things that we think about as we stay in our calling as ministry leaders in our churches is that calling itself. And so we want to take today, we want to share with you our stories of trusting Jesus to begin with, and then how that led to our calling in ministry. And so we want to visit with you about that and how a calling will help you to endure. So, Alan, I want to ask you to start off and talk about your first calling into a relationship with Jesus. How did that all happen for you?
Yeah, Trent. So I was, I was a church kid. I grew up in church, was in church almost every week. I was kind of, by all practical purposes, that church nerd, right? I knew all the Bible story answers. I had all that information. Someone got me into this thing called Bible drill when I was little, and I still wish that was as popular today as it was then, because it certainly taught me a lot about the Bible and also filled a competitive nature inside me. But I was one of those kids, you know, I walked an aisle, had someone kind of pray with me. They talked to me about baptism. I was later baptized, all those kinds of things. But as a teenager, I really began to struggle. And I was, even though I was kind of a leader in the youth group, all those kinds of things, I was really struggling with my faith. And I had a youth minister at the time. His name was Dave Ratton, and he's crossed both of our paths. And he recently, a couple years ago, went to be with the Lord. But what a special man in my life. And I remember walking into his office, and he challenged me. He said, "Alan, are you sure you're a Christian?" And I was almost offended that he was challenging my faith, but I knew that that was a challenge I needed to hear. And it wasn't long until I was at a Sunday evening church service that I really didn't want to be at. I was there specifically for the girls that night. And anyway, this old preacher was a special speaker that night, and he preached a message, and he really just challenged me. And, you know, I thought, I need to just rededicate my life. That'll get this feeling off my back. That'll get everything off my back. And he divided those who wanted to rededicate their lives versus those who wanted to surrender their life to Christ. And I just felt this draw that I needed to surrender my life to Christ. And I remember that night declaring that I was done playing games, and it was time to get serious about my faith and to own my faith. And so I tell people that I became a Christian when I was 17. Is it possible I was sincere when I was 7 years old and walked the aisle at church? I guess that's possible, but I didn't have a sense of ownership of that. And so I needed to take care of that. And so that's what I consider the time of my salvation. So what about you, Trent?
Well, Alan, I want to say that's, I love your story. And I love that we both have been impacted by Dave Ratton. You got to know him as your youth minister, and then he moved to Plainview and was both of our college ministers as well as when we were at Wayland Baptist University. And Dave.
Then I followed him as my pastor as well and into Fort Worth for a while. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a man who made a big impact on both of our lives. And I'm so thankful for him. And I know he's enjoying being with Jesus now. My story, my family was not in church. As I was younger, we'd lived out in the country and were farming, and a neighbor lady, an older lady named Mrs. Oster, came and asked if she could take me and my sister to a vacation Bible school at their church in Gill, Colorado. And my parents probably were like, yeah, whatever, you know, babysitting, right? And so I got to go to Vacation Bible School, and for the first time, well, not maybe for the first time, because my grandparents were very strong Christians, but I got to hear, and it made an impact in my life. And I remember sitting in this hospital green Sunday school class and hearing about Jesus and praying with the pastor there that I did not know until that week. And it just, God impressed on me that I needed Jesus. And so I made that commitment that day, but I wasn't involved in church then. So I really didn't get a discipleship relationship, you know, and it wasn't until a couple of years later that my folks were sort of attending a church in La Salle, Colorado. And I told the pastor there about my decision that I had made. And we started talking about baptism. And he asked my dad and I both to go through this class with him before I could be baptized. And that was so good. That was like the beginning of actually being discipled a little bit. And so I was baptized there. And then it was a youth minister, kind of like Alan's story, that we went through a time where we lost our farm. We ended up moving to East Texas. And thank God for Craig Hughes. He was the youth minister at First Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Texas. And he came out and visited us at our home and invited us to church. And he really kind of took over discipling me and helping me to grow. And so that was kind of my exposure and learning what it meant to be a Christian. And so, Alan, I love how God used people in our lives to kind of draw us to him. And then from that first calling in relationship, Alan, tell me about because you're in ministry now, how did that happen? How did the changeover from following Christ in salvation to following Christ in ministry happen for you?
Yeah, you know, Trent, I think one thing people are going to notice as they hear our stories is, one, we didn't make these journeys alone. God has used plenty of people in our lives to get us where we're at. And so we are both grateful for those people that God has put in our lives. And they mean so much to us. And words can never express enough thank yous to some of them. But for both of us as well, we're going to talk a little bit about our rebellious streaks, right? I went to Wayland. I hadn't really planned to go to Wayland, but I really didn't know what else to do or where else to go, and ended up at Wayland Baptist University in Plainview, Texas. And you know, I had kind of made up my mind. I grew up with not a lot of financial means in my family, and so I wanted to get a business degree. I fell in love with the idea of becoming a marketing person. And I had in my mind that I wanted to move to Chicago. I wanted to work for a marketing firm. I wanted to do all those kinds of things. And whatever it was, I was going to be rich. And, you know, along with all of that came a lot of a two-sided living on my part, trying to live for myself and then on the outside trying to show everyone that I was a good Christian. And I kind of was living that hypocritical life. And, you know, God called me into ministry while I decided to work as a summer staffer at a Baptist campground. And, it was while I was there that God called me into ministry. And even though I accepted it, I'm not sure I really was just loving the thought of that. And then, it really began a three-year process of me trying to run away and being pulled back in and run away and being pulled back in before I really came to understand that this is what God wanted, and that if I was going to have peace in my heart and in my life, there'd really be no way to avoid the call. Kind of like Jeremiah, it's just, you know, it's just burning inside, and I've got to do it. And so it was kind of a process of, you know, obedience, rebellion, obedience, rebellion, and until God could kind of break my spirit a little bit. How about you?
Well, Alan, my story kind of is a lot like yours. I had during high school, I had felt God was calling me to do something for him. I didn't really know what that meant, what that looked like. But thankfully, Craig Hughes and our pastor at that time really kind of encouraged me to keep just following and serving wherever I got the opportunity. So I went to Wayland Baptist University. Now, I will tell you that that wasn't all because I was being spiritual. Mostly it was because it was on the opposite side of the state from where my parents lived. And I was being rebellious and thinking, hey, I'm going to go play. And believe me, I did for the first year or two. In fact, I went to Texas Tech for a while, mostly because it was closer to the clubs and bars that I was hanging out driving down the weekends. And so I was down there playing, having fun, but I had told some people that I was a Christian, and it got to the point where I had folks at the Baptist Student Union and at Texas Tech basically say to me, hey, don't tell anybody you're a Christian because you make it hard for people who are trying to live out their Christianity. And boy, that got my attention and kind of turned my life around. And those folks there and Bruce McGowan, who was the BSU director at Texas Tech, got a hold of me and got me back in to come in and being involved. And then I got involved in the local church there in Lubbock while I was living there. And God kind of broke me down to the point where I was like, okay, God, I'll go back to Wayland and do whatever you want me to do, but you've got to take care of the money part of it. Because I was like you, Alan, I was poor. I paid for everything myself. I didn't have anybody helping me. And so I was like, God, I'll do whatever. You just got to get me there. And he did. I had some professors call and offer me some scholarships, and I was so thankful for that. And I got involved in the BSU there at Wayland, and Nick Howard, who we've gotten to interview on this podcast. He was a big part of both Alan and I's lives. Dave Kimmerling was another guy who was a BSU director at Wayland. So those folks helped me and discipled me and gave me some opportunities to serve and lead, and just kind of reaffirmed that calling in my life. And so that kind of gets us to the point, Alan, where we finishing up college, and then we have to make this leap into, are we going to do a seminary, right? And
Right. That's a struggle, isn't it, Trent? I mean, neither of us started this journey expecting to be a pastor, right? I mean, that is not what either of us expected. In fact, when we talk about sitting in marketing classes, where I really got to know Trent, even though we were in the Baptist student ministry together, we sat together in a marketing class, and we had a professor. He was a great guy, but he had this kind of habit of saying, all the time. And we would sit there and count his us in class. And we just would sit in the back row, and we would almost just crack ourselves up every day. But I think, you know, both of us were thinking, you know, how can we kind of turn this into something that we want to do instead of trying to ask, you know, what God wants. And, you know, I did a couple summers. I was a youth minister at a church for a couple summers, and that was fun. And I went to seminary, though, expecting, well, you know, Baptist student ministry, hanging out with college kids all the time sounds like fun. And so I think I'll probably do that. And that's what you were thinking, too, except you were actually making plans to do that. And I didn't make any plans to do that. So we'll come back to my last year of seminary in a second. But how did you kind of start out in that process? Because you began with student ministry. We'll be right back to today's conversation in just a few moments. We'd like to thank our ministry partner, IMD International. They're building leaders all around the world, engaging them one heart at a time. Reach out to them at imdinternational.org. Now back to today's conversation.
Well, yeah, sort of. I was kind of like you, though. You know, when you said that you had dreams of going to Chicago and making it rich and all that, I had gotten married to Dana right after I graduated from Wayland. And my dream was, just like you, I was poor. I wanted to make some money, right? And so I got a job with Tandy Corporation. I was an advertising writer. Then I went to work for Texas Utilities, and I was going to make it big in business. And I tell you what, those working for Texas Utilities had a lot of time by myself, and God used that as a quiet time. And then I was invited to go to this student meeting at the seminary, and just was hanging out mostly with Dana's brother. And a guy comes up to me that I did not know at all and asked me if I would be interested in doing student ministry. And I, man, is like God just kind of, you know, threw up out of me, yes, yes, I did. And so that next fall, I started as a BSU director in Terrell, Texas, at a little junior college. But the rule was that I had to start seminary. And oh my gosh, I had been so burned out at school before. And I was like, okay, I'll try. But it was great. And I loved it. And Alan, then you got to come to seminary as well.
Yeah. So, we had some good times in seminary, skipping chapel together and things like that. But the challenge for me in seminary was I was just too in the classes, and I was serving in my local church, but I really wasn't thinking about what I was going to do when I graduated. And so as I'm into my last year here and realizing everyone kind of had these plans, right? I mean, everyone had put resumes together and all this kind of stuff. And they had all these associations. If you're not Southern Baptist, we have these associations, and many associations have strategists, and they would invite them into the seminary, and they would interview pastoral candidates. They would take resumes for youth ministers to churches looking for youth ministers, or children's ministries looking for children's ministers, and all that stuff. I hadn't even put together a resume at this point in time. And I'm meeting regularly with a professor, realizing that I need to figure out what my ministry is. And I was going to this church, and as I'm talking to this guy, he said, you know, so you're thinking that maybe you'll go ahead, since you didn't do anything for collegiate ministry, that you'll just go into student ministry. And after about a month of meeting with him, he goes, Alan, you've come in here and you've talked with me for an hour, four straight weeks, and not once have you mentioned youth ministry. You're a youth Sunday school teacher, and all you talk about are the decisions the church is making, the pastor's making. He goes, I don't know about you, but to me, that doesn't sound like someone who really feels a call to student ministry. And I remember walking out of his office with my jaw on the floor. I don't think I said another word. I just think I said bye. And I walked out, and I was like, oh my goodness, God, you're calling me to be a pastor. And I think I like staggered home. You know, I'm surprised I didn't get thrown off the seminary campus, people thinking I was drunk or something, you know, and I stagger home, and I walk in the door, and I tell Rochelle, I think God wants me to be a pastor. And she just looks me square in the eyes, and she says, oh no, he doesn't, you know, cause she'd grown up in a minister's home. Her dad's a longtime music minister and worship pastor. And she's like, oh. And so, you know, we had to wrestle through that. And so here we are coming into May, and I'm putting together my first resume for pastor, and all these associations had already done all the work, right? I mean, so many of these guys are already taken. And one association in Southwest Oklahoma had not been able to come down that weekend, and he had gotten my resume. He had called family members, found information on me pre-internet, and called up people, got some information on me, and ultimately got me into my first church, but which all had to be, you know, that was God orchestrated, obviously, but it was a real struggle to kind of get to that place of pastoral ministry and accepting that call in my life. And you kind of went through you weren't on a direct path for this either, were you?
No, you know, I served in as a BSU director for 10 or 11 years, and loved working with college kids. In fact, I remember taking a group of our college kids to Alan's first church and doing a weekend with them, and that was so much fun. But yeah, When I mean, I went and I preached at a lot of churches because I was, you know, kind of spreading the word about student ministry. And I thought, man, there's no way I could be a pastor because it takes me way too long to come up with a sermon. But yeah, Dana and I, we got to a point of real burnout in college ministry. I was leading ministry at three different campuses at the time in Odessa. And I couldn't take it anymore. We left and went to a work at a Christian camp in Southwest Texas.
A rattlesnake village is what they all call it.
That's exactly right. It was tarantulas and rattlesnakes. And we were there, and I guess it was just one of those times to get rested up for what was coming next. But I told Dana, don't unpack your boxes all the way, because we're not staying here. And I started sending out resumes to be a pastor. But as we think about all this, you know, the reason that Alan and I wanted to talk with you through this is we want you to be thinking about what is your calling. First of all, we definitely want you to make sure that you have accepted Christ, that you've trusted him in that first calling, in that relationship with Christ. And the reason we say that is because, unfortunately, we've seen people go into ministry who weren't saved, hadn't trusted Jesus. And then others that we saw, and we don't have the right to judge anyone, but it kind of came out afterwards of people that didn't really feel a calling to ministry, but they thought, hey, ministry sounds like fun. And if that's your reason for going into ministry, you're going to have a rude awakening. And so, Alan.
Yeah, there's a lot of days it's not much fun at all.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, we kind of wanted to give you a glimpse of our call into ministry so that you will think about what is your calling into. And I'm so thankful for both of our wives. They were so encouraging and supportive to both Alan and I. And they have been a big part of our ministry. They have been helpmates and encouragers for sure. And so,
absolutely,
Alan, you know, as we think about what is it that helps us endure, I think calling is one of those big things, wouldn't you?
Right. It's your calling is what you have at the end of the day when you don't have anything else, you still have your call. I think that's again where we go back and we look at the lives of the prophets, or we look at the lives of the disciples, and if we could see the story that goes on after Acts in their lives, I think the calling is what keeps us there, as you put in our notes.
I think that's true, you know, because there are times when things are going wrong. Maybe you feel like people are coming against you, or just whatever your efforts are you're putting toward not working out well. And
well, let's be honest. Right now, everyone feels like everything's going wrong, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to find the things that are going right. And what keeps you going through this?
Yeah. And so, you know, as you struggle through these things, maybe that's when you need to revisit the memory of your calling to say, okay, God, I believe you called me into this thing called ministry, and I'm going to stick with it because I believe in you. So yeah, when things are going wrong, that's definitely what you may need to rest on. What other kinds of things do you think, Alan, that are important as we think about our calling?
Well, I think it's your calling that will keep you there too when everyone else is questioning all the decisions you've got to make. You know, it's you're going to be questioned. You're going to be challenged. You're going to have to do things as a pastoral leader or a ministry leader that gets you called into question all the time. And when you are being questioned, you just want to quit. I mean, that's just what happens, because behind questions comes conflict. And so conflict oftentimes is when I see many people get out of ministry over the conflict. But really, I think it's your calling that allows you to withstand the pressures that you feel when you're in the midst of conflict.
That's so important for us to remember, especially, you know, when we first got out of seminary, we're going into ministry and doing these things. We're young and stupid, probably. And, you know, we sometimes if somebody questions your decisions, you begin to think, who are you? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to make these decisions. I'm supposed to lead. And that's a struggle when somebody comes against you and says you're stupid or whatever. So you kind of need to remember that it's God who you're trying to please.
Yeah, I think that's really important. But you know, Trent, I mean, there are times though, I do believe that God calls some people out of ministry. It doesn't, a calling to vocational ministry doesn't mean that will always be our vocation. But how do we know that? And that's something that I think is important to talk about too, because we are only to leave if God calls us to do something else or to go somewhere else. And I like to talk about it as a pull versus a push. We don't want to be pushed somewhere, but we want to know that God is pulling us somewhere.
Yeah, if you've been a pastor or a ministry leader and you've been in one of those positions where you're facing lots of conflicts, people questioning everything, and you may be like, okay, God, I'm just done. Alan and I have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, the hat, you name it. We have been there and questioned whether we're out of here. This isn't worth it. And so we have to go back to that very first decision of trusting Jesus with our lives and also the trusting God with the calling into ministry. And that's, we kind of have to be reminded of that. And then don't abandon just because things are hard, abandon the calling to that specific place. God will pull you if he's ready for you to be in something else or even out of vocational ministry altogether, but let him lead.
Yeah, you got to know that you're not leaving because it's just hard. You need to go because God is pulling you into something else. And I think that is just something that's overlooked. And I think we've lost a lot of good ministers who just basically wanted to throw their hands up and say, you know what, I'll kind of call me to something else. And I understand it. I think if anyone who's been in ministry, you probably understand the feeling because, again, what do they say? Don't resign on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Write your resignation. Just don't submit your resignation. And that's certainly true. And so it's important for us to be able to stand on this calling that we have and understand it's a great calling. It's a hard calling, but it's a great calling.
That is very true, Alan. It is a great calling. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is awesome. Now, lots of times, unfortunately, we get our minds hung up on all the negatives, but there are so many positives. And so sometimes when you're going through a hard thing, the thing that will keep you enduring is remembering your calling and counting your blessings. Just thinking about those people that God is moving and using you as a tool to grow. Alan, I remember a time when Kelly, who we got to interview on this podcast, our youth minister, he and I were making a trip together. And at first we were both complaining about different people in our church and all that. And we both kind of came to the agreement, let's talk about the positive people. Let's talk about the good stuff that's happening. And the rest of the trip, we just started counting our blessings and thanking God for each of those people that were growing and we were seeing lives changed. And that changed everything for us. And I think that people need to do that wherever you are, if you're struggling with staying where you are.
Call and count. That almost preached, Trent. That's pretty good.
Write that down.
I like that. You bet. That's good stuff. Well, we hope that talking about our calling just helps you reflect on your calling, because your calling is something that will just keep you in there. And that's what we want to see. We want to help you endure. We want your church to endure. And that's why we do this. And if we can come alongside and help you, help your church, please reach out to us at our website at enduringchurches.com, or you can also find us on our Facebook page at Enduring Churches. But we would love to hear from you. Tell us your story about how God has called you into ministry. We'd love to hear your story as well. So thanks for joining us today. We look forward, as always, of having you back on our next episode of the Enduring Churches podcast.